Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship, as we've concluded our summer worship in the parlor and have returned to the sanctuary for our autumn worship. It's good to have you here. I want to extend a special welcome to anyone who may be visiting today. And if it is your first time here, we invite you to fill out a welcome card that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you place the card in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and yes, fall is here, and we're resuming many programs, and many boards are having their meetings, probably the first one since the summer. So I'm not going to read that to you, but I do just call your attention to the calendar that's listed on the back page of the bulletin. I'm asking anybody that attends the Tuesday Bible study to see me after the service if you've not received the materials for the next 2 weeks for study. I do have those with me today, and I'd like to get them to you so you have time to read them ahead of time. Also, you will note that Friday is our feeding ministry. We'll be serving our regular menu of shepherd's pie and other things. We will need cakes donated. We had the summer off from cakes, but we will need cakes for Friday as well. Also, something that's not on the calendar, but something that came up this morning, is Wednesday at about 5:45 in the afternoon. Anyone who's able and willing may come and help us move furniture. We're going to be resetting the parlor with the parlor furniture for the fall and Christmas season. And so if you can come and help us, we've learned that many hands make lighter work. And so Wednesday at about 5:45, we'll be doing that. Also, Marilyn Glover has asked me to announce that the Refugee Immigration Ministry, the Metro North Cluster, is having their annual fall bulb sale, and orders are being taken now. There's an order sheet in Judson Chapel on a desk that you may check during coffee hour today, and they will be available for pickup on Sunday, October 8th. So placing the order now, they'll be available in October. If you have any questions, you can check with Marilyn. Also, last Sunday we were talking about hurricane relief for the victims of Hurricane Harvey, and that's what we know of right now, but obviously people are being battered by Hurricane Irma as we speak, and I'm sure that there will be relief efforts for that hurricane as well. So if you'd like to give a gift to our denomination to help in our support of hurricane relief efforts, every dollar that is given goes directly to relief efforts. There's no administrative overhead costs that are taken out of our gifts. If you'd like to do that, please make your check payable to the church and just mark in the MMO hurricane relief. And we are receiving those today. At this time, let us prepare our hearts for worship with these words of Scripture. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord, for this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Our opening hymn is "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee," number 17 in the blue hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we rejoice in this day, a day that you have made. Open our hearts that we may worship you with joyful abandon. Open our eyes so that we may revel in the glory of your creation. Open our mouths to sing your praises, and open our ears to hear your word anew. Renew us and fill our entire beings with your spirit. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and now pray as he taught, as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. As part of our procedure on the second Sunday of September, the Sunday after Labor Day, we usually resume our Sunday school classes. And we are going to be having today a class for those in kindergarten through grade 2. And they may go out at this time. Excuse me. We have an opportunity to share our celebrations and our concerns with one another as we go to prayer this morning. I have a few I'd like to share with you as far as church family members and others, and then I'll invite you to share yours. We want to continue to remember Betty Hickey. I announced last week that Betty had fallen and broken her hip and had surgery. She's been at rehab this week at Glen Ridge and plans to come home sometime this week. So I saw her yesterday and was walking with a walker quite well. So we celebrate with that, and we want to keep Betty and Jim in prayer. And also, we want to keep their great-granddaughter, Naomi, in prayer today, because Naomi had an emergency appendectomy this week, is home now, is doing okay, but we want to keep Naomi in prayer as well. Also, we want to keep Cindy Huddy in prayer. Cindy's having surgery this coming week on her hip, and hopefully we'll take the pain away after a few days. The pain you're feeling now hopefully will go away. And you'll have some surgical pain. But we want to keep Cindy and Chuck and Michael in prayer as Cindy's having surgery this week. And we want to continue to remember Paul Patrie and May Upperman, who I believe are at home today. Also, I learned this morning that we want to keep the family of Herbert Smith, who was the son-in-law of Almoner Jones, in prayer, that he passed away in June. Just learning of that today. And also, we want to keep Richard Nickerson, who is our organ technician and a tenant in the basement of our parish house. His young, a good friend and assistant, James Marchant, passed away suddenly this week. And so Richard's having some difficult time with that, obviously, unexpectedly. So we want to keep Richard Nickerson in prayer as well. And obviously, we want to keep the folks in the southeastern United States in prayer today. If you saw any of the pictures this morning, glad I wasn't there. And just wondering, the reporters that were out in the elements, how difficult and dangerous it was. But just those that have been displaced and those that hunkered down and staying there, and those who have been moved to shelters, just want to lift all of those up. And knowing what's going to happen in the coming hours, but also then the relief efforts that will be taking place, we want to lift all of that up today. Do you have any requests for prayer today, either celebrations or concerns that you'd like to share with the church family? Liz. Wonderful. Congratulations. So So Dave and Liz are now parents again of Rihanna officially, and also that Rihanna's wrist is fully healed. And so that's those are both great celebrations. And nice to come together at the same time, too. So we celebrate with the Hart family. Mark. Okay. All right, you're already warning us that you're not going to be here. Okay, so Cassidy's fundraising walk will be next weekend, next Sunday, and you will be participating in that, attending that. So we want to keep that in our prayers today. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Lord God, you are a creator, redeemer, and sustainer. When we think of being a creator, we often think of you as being of the God of the wind and the rain. And as we've witnessed the events taking place in Florida this morning, we are conscious of the wind and the rain. And Lord, we just pray for those that are being impacted and affected by those winds and rain today. We pray for their safety, O God, for those that are in their own homes, those who have sought shelter in their own communities, and those who have left their communities for hopefully safer ground, safer area elsewhere in the country. Lord, we just lift all of them up. As we've prayed in the last couple weeks for those people in Texas and Louisiana who were battered by Hurricane Harvey, today it's a different named storm, different setup a little bit, different people being affected, oh God. But we still lift them up in prayer and pray for those who will be responding as first responders and those who will be coming afterwards that will be dealing with the devastation. Not only the physical devastation, but the emotional pain that the people will be experiencing and how they will be responding to that. Oh God, we just pray that our prayers may be felt there. They may sense that there are people who care about them during this devastation, this time of trouble. Lord, we also lift up those who are in the recovery phase in Texas and Louisiana. They're a couple weeks ahead. But Lord, they also know what's going on in Florida, and they can only know that another storm might hit them as well. And Lord, we just lift up those that are living in danger today and just pray for their safety. Lord, we not only know because storms cause problems, but we also live in a violent society. When we hear of murders taking place, when we hear of wanton disregard for human life, oh God, we just lift up those who have been affected that way. And just pray that those who feel unsafe may find a refuge, a place where they may go, that they may have someone that will listen to them and will act on their behalf, that they may have restorative justice working for them in their lives. Lord, we lift up those who are ill today. We've mentioned some who are ill or injured, and just lift them up to you and pray for healing in their lives according to your will for them. We also lift up those who are in mourning today, O God, because of the death of a loved one. And just pray that your spirit may fill their emptiness in their heart. They may feel your presence very close to them in this time of loneliness and separation. As schools have resumed, O God, we pray for those students and teachers and administrators who have begun a new academic year. Just pray that it may be a good year, a year of learning and teaching, a time of exploration, a time of new moments, of ahas, when something else is learned and grasped. We thank you, O God, for those who have been gifted with the ability and the skills to teach and to administrate. We lift them up today as well, O God. And we especially pray for our Sunday school today, O God, and pray for students and teachers as they begin a new year as well in that process. And Lord, we just thank you for being able to come here today to worship you. We pray now that your spirit would continue to bless us and move among us as we continue in our worship. And we ask all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have many ways to worship. We've just been in prayer. We've sung. We've heard scripture this morning already. Now we have an opportunity to worship by offering our tangible gifts to God as a thank you for all that God has blessed us with. At this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts. Let us pray. Lord God, we present these tithes and gifts to you as a token of our gratitude for all that you have done for us and are doing for us and what you will be doing for us. Lord, we gather in the name of Jesus Christ and it's the wonderful cross and what he did for on the cross that we are here today. And Lord, as we present these gifts to you, We ask that you would multiply them and bless us as we use these gifts, we may share the wonderful news of the cross with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. David Latta is our lay reader today and will be reading the scripture.
Good morning. Scripture today is from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Then Moses said to the people, "Obey all the laws that I am teaching you, and you will live and occupy the land which the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving to you. Do not add anything to what I command you, and do not take anything away. Obey the commands of the Lord your God that I have given you. You yourselves saw what the Lord did at Mount Hor. He destroyed everyone who worshipped Baal, but those of you who were faithful to the Lord, your God, are still alive today. I have taught you all the laws as the Lord, my God, told me to do. Obey them in the land that you are about to invade and occupy. Obey them faithfully, and this will show the people of other nations how wise you are. When they hear of all the laws, they will say, 'What wisdom and understanding this great nation has. No other nation has, excuse me, no other nation, no matter how great, has a God who is so near when they need him, as the Lord our God is to us. He answers us whenever we call for help. No other nation, no matter how great, has the laws so just as those that I have taught you today. Be on your guard. Make certain that you do not forget, as long as you live, what you have seen with your own eyes. Tell your children and your grandchildren.'" These are the words of the Lord.
Works any better. I neglected earlier during my announcements to welcome back the sanctuary choir, so welcome back, choir. You were behind me, and I knew you were back there, but I didn't see you to welcome you, but welcome back. It's good to have you. Nice to be standing. When I'm standing up here singing, I have somebody behind me singing too, and it's not just me up here, but it's good to have you back. Let's pray together this morning. Lord God, we have heard from your written word, your words of instruction through Moses to the people of Israel as they were preparing to enter your promised land. Words of encouragement and command to be faithful, to obey the commandments, that they were going to have people looking at them, paying attention to them as to how they live their daily lives, especially to not only keep these commands to themselves, but to teach them to their children and their grandchildren, and how amazed people that first encountered them would be as to how faithful they were. Lord, we pray to be that type of faithful people as well in our families, in our communities, and within our congregation. In this day, O God, we pray that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. 38 years ago, then President Jimmy Carter established the first Sunday after Labor Day as the annual National Grandparents' Day. So when we talk about that, and that means that's today's National Grandparents' Day, so happy Grandparents' Day to all of you who are grandparents. But we must step back for a moment and ask ourselves, what is a grandparent? Well, simple definition is that grandparents are grandparents. But in the dictionary, the word grand is defined this way: having more importance than others, foremost, having higher rank, large and striking in size, scope, extent, or conception, lavish, marked by regal form and dignity, intended to impress, very good, wonderful. I hope all of you who are grandparents could take something out of some of those things and say, that's me, or I wish I were that. These definitions make us feel pretty good if we're able to claim that we are a grandparent. But so what do you envision, though, when I say the word grandparent? An 8-year-old wrote the following description of a female grandparent. A grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own. So she likes other people's boys and girls. Grandmas don't have anything to do except to be there. If they take us for walks, they slow down past pretty leaves and caterpillars. They never say, "Hurry up." Usually they are fat, but not too fat to tie shoes. They wear glasses, and sometimes they can take their teeth out. They can answer questions like why dogs hate cats and why God is not married. They don't talk like visitors do, which is hard to understand. When they read to us, they don't skip words or mind if it is the same story again. Everybody should try to have a grandma, especially if you don't have television, because grandmas are the only grown-ups who always have time. I'd like to share with you a few statistics about grandparents. There are 70 million grandparents in the U.S. today. That's roughly 1/3 of the country's population. And they're not necessarily old. The average age at which a woman becomes a grandparent is 50, and for a man it's 54. But some become grandparents in their early 30s, and others not until their 60s or even later. Grandparenting is more complicated than it used to be. Responsibilities now often include step-grandparenting. And increasing numbers of grandparents are going to court for the right to visit their grandchildren. The mobility of society means that many grandparents are no longer just around the corner or the curve from their grandchildren. So they have to learn the techniques of long-distance grandparenting. More and more grandparents find themselves providing regular child care, and approximately 2.7 million American grandparents are raising grandchildren in the place of parents. Now, some of you may be saying to yourselves, my grandchildren live too far away for us to have a close relationship. And others of you may be thinking, I don't have any grandchildren. This message is not for me. Well, while the facts in those thoughts may be accurate, the conclusions are not. My paternal grandparents died before I was born. And my maternal grandmother died when I was 4 and my grandfather when I was 8. But I had loving relationships with unofficial surrogate grandparents. Some lived down the street and some were in my church. While not biologically related, we were related by affection. So the message today about being grand people for great times is a message each one of us needs to hear, no matter what our age or family situation. More and more psychologists are citing the importance of the grandparent-grandchild relationship. Dr. Arthur Kornhaber writes the following, quote, "The bond between a child and a grandparent is the purest, least psychologically complicated form of human love," end quote. He claims that grandparents can offer an emotional safety net when parents falter. They pass on traditions in the form of stories, songs, games, skills, and crafts. Just like Moses was instructing the Israelites in this morning's scripture from Deuteronomy when he wrote, "Be careful and watch yourselves closely so you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." And 2 chapters later, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read these instructions. "Never forget these commandments from the Lord that I am giving you today. Teach them to your children Repeat them when you are at home and when you are away, when you are resting and when you are working. Tie them on your arms and wear them on your foreheads as a reminder. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. The responsibility of sharing what the wisdom and the knowledge and experience that we as older adults have that we can share with our younger descendants. Grandparents have another magical ingredient that parents often lack, and that is time. Kornhaber, who I quoted earlier, has found that children who are close to at least one grandparent are more emotionally secure than other children, and they have more positive feelings about older people and about the process of aging. Paraphrasing F.W. Borum, grandparenthood gives every person a second chance. If one's parents fail, then grandparents may yet prove his or her salvation. Perhaps the Bible's most dramatic illustration of that truth is the story of King Manasseh in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Manasseh has been called one of the most wicked men who ever lived. But in his old age, he repented and turned to God. The son who succeeded him was evil. But Manasseh's grandson, Josiah, became one of the best and most loved kings in Jewish history. By studying the chronology, we learn that the last 6 years of Manasseh and the first 6 years of Josiah overlap of grandparent and grandson. And the last 6 years of Manasseh were his repentant years, his godly years, his years of reform and contrition. It was too late for him to influence his own son, Amon. But it was not too late for Josiah. And we can easily picture that old king spending long hours with his small grandson telling him, "Now one day you are going to be king. Don't make the mistakes I did. From the beginning, serve the Lord." This grandfather, who had been the most violent and wicked man in his nation's history, gave himself to God in just enough time to spare his newly found faith in the tender heart of his young grandson. Just enough time to influence the nation's history. The Apostle Paul said to his student, Timothy, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois." Wonderful examples of both the Old and the New Testament of how grandparents influenced young people. How can grandparents use their position to their best advantage? Proverbs 17:6 says that grandchildren are the crown to the aged. Today, I'd like us to briefly look at four tools for polishing that crown. First one is prudence, a word we don't use very much today. It's an old-fashioned word, but grandparents sometimes feel inclined to give more advice or direction than the parents want at the very time that parents are insecure in their new role. It takes a little time for grandparents to find the right balance, learning to be involved without interfering. Grandparents have a lifetime of wisdom stored up and often know the best times to speak up and the best times to remain quiet. And that's where the prudence comes in, to make that wise decision. The second tool for polishing that crown is it's vital for grandparents to be as accessible as possible. As grandparents, you need to spend time with your grandchildren, to open your home, schedule time for the grandchildren. You need to make the house user-friendly for young people. You need to talk to them and tell them stories. And sometimes, yeah, they're going to roll their eyes, but we never know when we're planting seeds or watering seeds that were previously planted. So the stories need to be told again and again. And we need to read them scripture. In our mobile society, many people don't live near their grandchildren. But we can use email and texts, Skype, and other forms of electronic communication. Many grandparents send a little e-note or message each day to their technology-savvy grandkids. And a week here or there, a vacation, and regular phone calls help to fill in the gaps, to keep that relationship going. That third tool for polishing that crown for the grandchildren, that being of the crown that grandchildren are for their grandparents, is another P, is provision. Grandparents can provide materially for their grandchildren, just a little bit more here and there. Perhaps it's clothing or books, toys or tools or something for a hobby. Not to go behind the parents' back, but to support the parents. A little seed money, perhaps, for college. Parents over 50, on average, are more affluent in our population, holding 50% of the country's disposable income and more than 75% of the financial assets. But advertisers have a difficult time reaching these people because senior adults have learned through the years to be cautious about their money. Businesses are learning, however, to appeal to them as grandparents. That may be the hook for some advertisers. And the fourth P, the fourth verb, the fourth thing to use to help polish that crown which our grandchildren are for us who are grandparents, is prayer. The Old Testament prophet named Samuel said to the Israelites, "God forbid that I should sin against heaven by failing to pray for you." That's something grandparents need to be about. Grandparents, if they have more time, they have more time for prayer and Bible reading. And not prayers just for the world, but prayers for their family, prayers for their grandchildren. And also not just praying alone, but praying with the grandchild. Modeling a life of prayer so the grandchild grows up and it's not foreign to them. So to recap, the tools necessary for effective grandparenting are, again, it's P's. Somehow I come up with P's a lot for some reason. It's prudence and presence, provision and prayer. And maybe just a little dash on top of patience. These are powerful tools for crown polishing. For our children's children are a crown to the aged, and those who realize that, they are the grandest people of all. And before we go, let's pray together at this point. Gracious God, you have put us into relationship with others. Some of us have been blessed with children and grandchildren by relationship. And others, oh God, you have created us in relationship by affection. However we find ourselves and wherever we find ourselves, oh God, we pray that those who are living out grandparenting roles today, that they may have the prudence, presence, provision, and prayer to help their grandchildren, not to become overbearing and not to usurp the parents' role, but to be supportive of parents who are doing the best that they can. We pray for those grandparents today who are the parents of their grandchildren, that parents have lost that privilege. Just pray for them as well today. And Lord, we pray for others that yearn to be a grandparent but are not that yet. Lord, we pray that they may find other relationships in which they may use their love and share that with those who are younger. Lord, we thank you for the gift of relationships. We thank you for the gift of love that you have given to each of us. We pray that we may share that with others. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn is "Find Us Faithful," which is a chorus to a contemporary song. And in preparation for singing that chorus, which Marilyn, I'd like us to sing through twice, okay? I'd like to read one of the verses that goes with that. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn, Find Us Faithful, number 726. We leave this place of worship and return to our everyday lives, to our work, which may be paid or unpaid, or to our unemployment or retirement, to our families, or to our loneliness, to our homes, or to our homelessness. We go with thanksgiving for the blessings and love we have given and received. We go out to do what is right and live as best we can, carrying in the power and presence of the living Lord. May the blessing of God be upon all of us, and may all who come behind us find us faithful. Amen.